This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
We got news today. The Colorado Rockies announced departure of general manager Bill Schmidt. They announced that Bill Schmidt has stepped down from his role as general manager. The Rockies will begin a search. Yeah. It's Susan and Cheryl can get behind that move for sure. You can't.
I can also.
Well, did you clap? That wasn't you.
Well, I opened the microphone for Susan and Cheryl.
Oh, okay. Too. Yeah. No, it's the right move. Whatever. I mean, it might have been a, hey, we're going to sit down, Bill. Listen, let's let you get out of here gracefully. And you've been with this organization for a very long time, for over 25 years. Yeah. So, yeah, I would let you kind of say that you went out on your own terms, maybe. I don't know. I'm speaking into it. All I have here is the press release. Jerry Schimmel, the voice of the Colorado Rockies, is going to join me at the bottom of this hour. We got a jam-packed show today. Cody Tucker is going to join me from 7220sports.com. And then we'll have Sean Keeler, Denver Post. I'm sure he'll have some thoughts on this, too. But this was... I mean, we kind of expected it, but there was part of my brain that's like, I could totally see the Rockies just staying the course here. Now, I want to get into some of the specifics on the press release. Now, you have the new executive vice president, Walker Monford, had this to say, and I think this is what has a lot of people somewhat excited. We're setting our sights on finding the right leader from outside our organization who can bring a fresh perspective to the Rockies and enhance our baseball operations with a new vision, innovation, and a focus on both short and long-term success. This change delivers an opportunity to shape the future of our club and move forward in a new era of Rockies baseball. Outside our organization. Now, I'm going to talk to Jerry about a list of potential managers or general managers to take over, what that looks like. But I think what everyone wants to see, even if whether you have the most baseball knowledge or not, you want to see a fresh set of eyes come in. And I know some people get mad at that. Well, give me the guys. Like, we'll go through the list of potential names, but I think the big thing is just getting somebody that's not been in your organization, that's clearly seen how this organization has been ran and what it's done. I mean, it's just getting worse. So Bill Schmidt stepping down, and now they will set their search up for the next general manager. Mike, I have to believe that means Warren Schaefer won't be back either. Because if you're bringing a general manager in, you're probably going to want to give him an opportunity to try to flex his vision. And he's not going to go with an interim manager that took over and continued to be pretty rough.
Yeah, you got to start this from the ground up. Get rid of a lot of the players, or at least get rid of a lot of the management, and just go.
Yeah,
Rockies are going to suck for a while.
Yeah, I mean, this isn't going to be a quick fix. I don't know if they'll be as bad as they will be they were this year, but they can't. I mean, Bill Schmidt had some players. There were some guys on that roster this year that you were kind of like, all right, there's a few, but not enough. I mean, every team has a couple of good players now and again. And it's about building it up to the point where you're competing consistently, or at least not the bottom of the barrel, one of the worst teams in baseball. And they've been one of the worst teams in baseball, like one of two in the last 3 years. That you can't just keep staying the course on that.
They were looking up at the bottom of the barrel.
Yeah. Yeah. This is good news. Now, I mean, it's sports, you know? It's not like anything else, Mike, where we talk about someone losing their job and, you know, it's cheered for, like Susan and Cheryl so disrespectfully did. But this is sports. This is not real life to us. And these guys get great opportunities to be in an industry that we all love and get paid handsomely for it. And Bill Schmidt was a guy that was in this organization for a while. And I know Jerry was close with Bill, so we'll talk to Jerry and kind of get his thoughts on that. But I think it's an obvious move that you had to make. I just didn't know if they were going to make the obvious move. And I think having Walker Monfort be the one to put that quote out, that we are setting our sights on the right leader from outside our organization, was whoever's idea was that was to make sure that it was his quote to do that, was great. And that gives you some hope for the future. I don't know if it's like an immediate hope, but it's some kind of hope.
I wonder how hard it is for Walker to say, hey, Bill, we need you to take a walk. We've got to get new management.
Okay, this is not even a real thing. I'm excited about this until Mike had completely derailed. Another quote from Dick Monfort: Bill has been an integral part of the Rockies family for over 25 years with countless contributions to the organization over that time.
That's why it would be hard for Walker to say that.
I know what you're doing. I'm going to say the same thing I said to you, to Mike Brohard yesterday. I know what you're doing. I know what you're doing. Stop it. Stop it. Got a busy show, man. Baseball was fun last night. Micah says it's boring. I mean, I was having a blast. The Tigers started the day off by winning 2-1. The first three games felt like it was like whoever can. And wow, Cleveland has had two errors in a row, resulting in Detroit getting on first and second base. Like, that looks bad. It could be interesting. I thought yesterday was pretty exciting, and this just, you have superior pitchers pitching out there. I mean, the Tigers win 2-1, Cubs win a tight game 3-1, Red Sox were down 1-0 pretty much most of the game, and I'm going to get into some of this. That was a fun ending in that Red Sox-Yankees game. I mean, the Red Sox get that lead, they get their insurance run, they go up 3-1, Chapman comes out to close this thing out. Yankees load the bases with no outs, and they have no intention of going deeper into the bullpen. Chapman gets them out of it somehow, some way, giving up no runs in that situation, and the Red Sox win. And then the late game, you had the Reds and the Dodgers, and that was just an absolute domination type of game by the Los Angeles Dodgers as they won 10-5. So a new day for the Rockies, and I think it's somewhat of an exciting day for the Rockies. Now you have to set your sights on trying to get, I mean, will they go with a younger guy? Will they go with an established guy, an assistant somewhere? That's what I'll be interested to see. You know, how this is going to break down, ultimately. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043.
I think they do what the Broncos did and hire an assistant from somewhere else.
Like what? Yeah, where George Payton was.
Yeah,
yeah. That's where you kind of look. Is there a young up and coming, an assistant to the regional manager, Dunder Mifflin style, that is looking to be the guy to call the shots? That will be the interesting step here for the Rockies. But man, you can't. We said it. Like, even in August, when suddenly we were starting to see some positives from this team. And they, you know, we got to the 35 wins. We did the beard shaving thing, and suddenly they were kind of rolling. You still can't have one of the worst seasons in baseball history and expect to run that back. You just can't do it. So I want to applaud the Rockies, but I mean, come on, this is probably one of the more obvious things. But the Rockies haven't been known to do one of the more obvious things when it comes to running this organization. So you had to do something. It did seem like it was starting to hit. You know, I know their attendance was still pretty good, but it was starting. You're starting to get more and more people just show a lot of apathy toward this organization, and you just can't do it. So we're going to get into that with Jerry Schimmel at the bottom of the hour today. Broncos, Philadelphia Eagles coming up this Sunday. How do you? I mean, you all. I think the Broncos have to almost be perfect in this game, Mike. They got to be perfect. No turnovers. Not a lot of crazy penalties. Running the ball effectively. I mean, yeah, it's like you got to do everything almost perfect to beat a team like Philadelphia, who I believe, and so does ESPN, believe that this is the best team in all of football. So we'll get into that. Cody Tucker's going to join me as the Cowboys get set to take on Nevada this weekend. Interested to see how they're going to respond now that they're kind of getting into Mountain West play. Sean Keeler will join me, has some good stories on the Broncos, on the Rams, on the Buffs, all of it. So I'm excited to touch base with him. Also, Sean Payton, you guys have probably been hearing about this, but his record in September, he's like a 500 coach in September, but something changes in October. Well, it is October, and Sean takes it to another level. Are we going to see that take full effect against a Super Bowl favorite in the Philadelphia Eagles on Sunday?
This is where the run starts.
Well, I mean, you would have said that if they were 0-11. You would have said this is where the run starts. So we know where you're going with it. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. All right, when we come back, Pac-12 Mountain West stuff. We had some big news there yesterday, too. I mean, we're just full of news stories that we're focusing on here on the whole show. And I want to get to that coming up next. But first, we'll take a short break. It's the whole show powered by Chevron, a Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
With cooler temperatures upon us, that only means more red hot takes on Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Earl Boykins, former Denver Nugget, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
All right, welcome back in. Ross Dellinger put this out, some details from the Pac-12's lawsuit, Mountain West lawsuit. A California judge yesterday denied a motion from the Mountain West to dismiss a lawsuit from the Pac-12 challenging the validity of the $100 million-plus in poaching fees that the Mountain West says the league owes for acquiring five of its members. Here's some of the details. Just to kind of refresh you guys on this story, the antitrust lawsuit is a process of the rapidly changing landscape of college athletics. Both parties, plaintiff Pac-12 Conference and defendant Mountain West Conference, are athletic direct conferences within Division I, blah, blah, blah. After the Pac-12 lost 10 of its 12 members schools to rival athletic conferences in 22 and 23, it entered into a scheduling agreement with the Mountain West to secure a complete football schedule for its two remaining member schools during the 24-25 football seasons. The party scheduling agreement contains a clause that requires the Pac-12 to pay the Mountain West a termination fee for any school that departs the Mountain West to join the Pac-12. After five Mountain West Conference schools decided to move to the Pac-12, the Mountain West Conference demanded that the Pac-12 pay tens of millions of dollars in termination fees. The Pac-12 responded by filing this lawsuit, which challenges the termination fee provision under the federal Sherman Antitrust Act and under California's Cartwright Act, unfair competition law, and common law. All parties have consented to the jurisdiction of a magistrate judge. Now before the court, the Mountain West motion to dismiss the complaint. The court held a hearing on September 9th, 2025. For the reasons that follow, the motion to dismiss is denied. So, interesting. Very, very interesting there, Mike. I mean, I would imagine now we're going to see some kind of a settlement between the two conferences, which is kind of what we thought we were going to see. But if you're confused by it, you're just following along, you're catching up with it, the Pac-12, Mountain West shook hands, joined forces. Hey, you can be a scheduling partner with us since you don't have a conference anymore. But don't go poaching our teams. If you do, not only is there going to be an exit fee, but there's going to be a poaching fee. And basically the Pac-12 is like, no, we're filing a lawsuit. You can't charge us double. You can't double dip. And it sounds like the courts are saying, and the Mount West fought back and was like trying to dismiss the complaint. And that dismissal of the complaint was denied. So it sounds like a settlement's probably going to happen.
This is a very will they, won't they. I get a will they, won't they feeling from this. Why don't they just combine and make a super conference already?
Not now. They won't do that now, Mike.
That might as well. They will in the future. They're going to become one.
I don't know.
They're going to get married.
I don't know. I think that there's been so much damage between the two conferences, between the two commissioners of these conferences. I don't see it happening.
I do. See, what's going to happen is in a few years, they're going to realize that no one wants them. So they're going to be like, well, no one wants me. No one wants you. Let's just get married and become a weak super conference.
Mm-mm. Not while the two are in charge. Teresa Gould and, is it Navarez? Is that? Just blanked out.
Fire them both.
Well, not while they are running the show. I mean, Gloria Navarez. There we go. Thank you.
Fire them both.
No, I don't see a peaceful resolution to this anytime soon. I mean, maybe a peaceful settlement just to get it done. But let's just get it done. I'm tired. I'm kind of tired of it at this point. You know, I'm tired of it. I was interested in it for a minute. And now it's just kind of getting to the point where it's like, okay, come on, let's be done. Let's be done with this. Move on with life. Mountain West, you did some things. They got Grand Canyon in without getting approval from the rest. I know, but they didn't get the rest of the current conference's approval. And I thought that was kind of a weird move. But also, it's kind of like you're leaving us, so we have to look out for what's best for our children. You're leaving, so we can't be worried about that. We need to get them in now. Screw your scheduling and all that stuff. We got to go. So, I mean, they're both kind of wrong, both kind of right. I mean, the Pac-12 had no interest in being absorbed by the Mountain West, right? They're too proud. The two teams are too proud. They think they're a lot bigger than they are. Is that fair to say? Oregon State and Washington State both think they're a lot bigger than they are.
Yeah. So they're too big for their britches.
So they had no interest in saying, oh, we'll just join the Mountain West and merge the names. No, we want to keep the Pac-12 alive. We're going to survive this storm somehow and be better for it. And then while they got in with the Mountain West, it's kind of sneaky, man. We got a scheduling agreement. You kind of saved us. You bailed us out because it makes it 10 times easier to schedule games, to just have a conference we can do it within. And meanwhile, we're having conversations behind your back while this is all going on, and we're going to poach half of your conference and the upper half of the conference too.
This still feels like one of those movies where it's like he hates her and she hates him and they're doing mean things to each other, but really they don't realize it, but they secretly are in love with each other.
I don't know where you're getting at. Like that, they're not. They hate each other.
I know they hate each other now, but eventually, maybe 10 years down the road when they fired Tweedledee and Tweedledum, they'll become one super conference. It's going to be a lame super conference where every now and then someone will be good. But eventually there'll be a super conference and we'll have nothing but super conferences. It'll be like those Judge Dredd super cities.
Smitty texting in, the five exiting Mountain West schools didn't leave the dead weight of San Jose State and Hawaii just to absorb UTEP, UNI, UC Davis, and still keep San Jose State and Hawaii. Once again, that ship has sailed. Yeah, I think that ship has sailed. You and I differ on that one. I think it's done. Maybe a settlement now, but I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if the Pac-12 is going to turn out to be anything. Right now, it feels like no, and I know you're like really on the negative side of that, Michael. like you're just flat out, no, this is not going to turn into what they think it's going to turn into. And right, like based on the information we have right now, I don't feel that way. Is it better? Is the Pac-12 better than the Mountain West? Yes. I mean, Oregon State and Washington State are still bigger programs, more established programs, richer programs than the rest of the Mountain West. I mean, that's the fact. But I don't know what kind of award that's going to get you in the long run. So there we go. Mount West tried to get that dismissed. The complaint, the Pac-12 coming in saying, no, you can't charge us that much more. Because essentially you're double dipping. There's the exit fee stuff, right? And then they were basically saying, but also poaching. Wasn't that kind of the same thing? Isn't it the same thing? So the Mount West was basically trying to get both. And that's a little shady. Yeah.
If you want to get both, make it like a smaller fee, like a much smaller fee. And then they'd go, well, that's stupid, but we'll pay it because we don't want to take it to court.
Yeah. No, that's the thing. We'll probably get to some kind of settlement, which I don't even know that I agree with, because if you're already paying the exit fees, I don't know that you need to pay a poaching fee either, because it's the same thing. You know, you can call it whatever you want, but exit fees, well, they're exiting because they were poached. 30 minutes after the hour, Jerry Schimmel, voice of the Colorado Rockies, going to join me next. You don't want to miss this. Bill Schmidt, general manager, no more. What's next for the Rockies? We'll talk to Jerry coming up next. But first, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
There's only one feeling like knowing your banker personally, like growing up with a bank you can count on, like being sure what you've earned is safe, secure, and local. There's only one feeling like knowing you're supporting your community. You deserve more from a bank. You deserve an institution that stood strong for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Brian Howell, Colorado Buffalo's beat writer for the Buff Zone, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Jerry Schimmel, the voice of the Colorado Rockies. You heard Jerry and Jack Corrigan on this station all summer. The boys of our summer are taking a little break, but I know that's not a real thing for Jerry. The guy's broadcasting all the time. Jerry Schimmel, thank you so much, my friend, for giving me some time on short notice, because we had some very interesting news today surrounding the Colorado Rockies.
Well, you are very welcome, Brady. Love to come on with you anytime, my man.
All right, so talk to me about this. We got the press release earlier, Jerry. The Rockies announced that general manager Bill Schmidt is stepping down from his role. And then we get this was an interesting quote, too, from Executive Vice President Walker Monfort, saying we're going to try to find the right leader from outside our organization. So talk to me a little bit about the process, the decision by Bill Schmidt to step down.
Yeah, two things there. Number one is I don't think anybody should be surprised by that. I think we kind of saw it coming. If you're going to get rid of a manager a third of the way through the season, your general manager, if you continue to play poorly like the Rockies have this year and the previous two, you're going to make that change as well. It just was going to be the timing of it. And the idea of hiring from without with another organization, I think it's something new and it's something needed. I think everybody agrees with that. I know you have to, Brady. I do too. Let's get a fresh pair of eyes. Let's get some new thoughts in here. You know, the one thing that I keep thinking about that sort of lingers with me, however, is Coors Field is a challenge. It's a different entity. It's got its own challenges to itself. And to find a general manager that would understand and have some great ideas about how to win at altitude, I think is really important. I think the last time around when Bill Schmidt was hired, Brady, one of the things that Dick Monfort said was, hey, we looked at the other guys. We interviewed people from the outside. They all had these ideas about how to win at Coors Field. He said, we tried all those things, and they didn't work. And so we thought we'd just stick from within, from a guy who knew how to maybe get things done at Coors Field. So you kind of throw that out, and I guess you start fresh again. But at the same time, to me, that Coors Field challenge still lingers.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's you kind when what you just said there makes total sense too, because it's a different beast. So the idea sometimes of bringing someone who's not experiencing that all the time, every single day, or you know every other day throughout the summer is. That can be tough because you want someone really deep, really involved. That's why we say, you know, maybe a local pitcher, a guy that's pitched in Colorado for a good chunk of his life before being, you know, in the majors might succeed. So it is kind of an interesting one there, but they've tried this. So I think a lot of people are just happy with the idea that somebody new that hasn't been in this organization for a while can really come in with a fresh set of eyes.
Yeah, as they should, Brady. I mean, there's no getting around that. You can't now just quit this season and move on with somebody that's already in the organization, promote somebody else, stay within. We know that has not worked for a long time. You've got to get some fresh eyes in here. Doesn't mean that somebody who comes in can't help figure Coors Field out and help the team win games here. But the more I do these games, Brady, the more I just think Coors Field is crazy. It's just a different challenge. And I'll give you an example. This year, Tyler Freeman was telling us in a pregame show, he said, I've got this hip issue, and it hurts at home, and it doesn't hurt on the road. Just little things like that, and pitchers getting Rocky Mountain fever, and of course, getting their head. It just, to me, it's just more and more important every year for this team for some reason. And I think what you have to do is go back maybe to the years where the Rockies were successful, when they were playoff teams in 17 and 18. What'd they do? They had really good starting pitching, and they hit a lot of home runs. So that's the combination that every team is looking for. And the Rockies, and they probably have to get back to that. I think if you're a general manager, Brady, and I don't know if you're going to ask this question of me or not, I'll just throw it out there, but where you start is starting pitching. It was atrocious, and it's got to improve, or this team won't improve.
Jerry Schimmel joining us, one of the voices of the Colorado Rockies. Pitching, obviously, a big one you got to look at. I guess also big, I look at the manager spot, too, Jerry, Warren Schaefer. I mean, I like the idea of Warren Schaefer, kind of, but then there was like August, it was kind of a moment where I'm getting excited, and then it all kind of fizzled again. I don't know how much you can put on him for that necessarily, because you got to wonder if guys are starting to mentally kind of check out. Not to say that that's okay, but it happens. You got to think, though, a new GM comes in and wants to get his guy, like that, make that big decision first.
Yeah, I think that's where we have to figure out what the Rockies want to do. There's one of two ways they're going to do that. One is, there's probably three ways, Brady. One is, hey, we're going to hire you, but we want you to be open-minded about this manager position, and we'd like you to at least interview Warren Schaefer for that spot. Or number two would be, Warren Schaefer's our guy, and come in, you surround him with whatever you need to surround him with. Or three is, bring your own guy in. It's one of those three options, and I don't know where the Rockies are sitting on that. It probably depends on the candidate they want to hire. If they want to hire, you know, Thad Levine, and he has his own guy, and he wants to bring in Rocco from Minnesota that I think he hired with the Twins, then they have to do that. But I think that's the decision that the Rockies are going to have to make. Probably Dick and Walker Monfort would make that decision before they make that GM hire.
You mentioned Thad Levine. I've seen his name a lot this morning. Jerry, who else is kind of on that radar that you see potentially getting at least an interview?
Yeah, I think there's a couple other guys. I think you would probably look at Drayton Moore. You know, he was the general manager of that Minnesota team that was so good. I think Andy McKay, who's an assistant at Seattle, who spent some time, I think, in the minor league system for the Rockies as in management. He kind of knows the challenges of winning at altitude. And I think after that, it's probably a toss-up. I think there's some other guys, some older guys like John Daniels, some others that you might look at. But if you look at young guys that might have a connection to the organization or have had great success, I think it's probably those three. It's probably Thad Levine, it's probably Andy McKay, and it's probably Drayton Moore.
With Thad Levine, Jerry, help me out. When was he with the Rock? Because he was in their front office in some capacity. Which years were those?
He was, I believe, like 2001 to 2005 or 6.
Okay.
Before the World Series, but he was there as an assistant general manager. So, and I'm told very active, and everybody, I've never met Thad, but the guys with the organization that have, that I know, including Jack Corrigan, that he's a great guy and he'd be a great candidate Jeff Huston really thinks he'd be a great candidate. So there's a guy that's got lots of front office experience and experience at Coors Field and managing a franchise at altitude.
He's interesting to me, Jerry, because he kind of checks both of those boxes. A guy that does understand the struggles that come with playing in Colorado, but also spent enough time away with the Twins where you're learning a bunch of different things outside of this organization. So that's kind of why his name is standing out to me the most.
Yeah, I think that's probably consensus. I think if you were put some odds on who the next general manager might be, it would probably be Thad Levine for those reasons. And he had success in Minnesota. They had some tough years he was there, but they had some very good years as well. They won division titles when he was a general manager, probably weaker division than what he would enter in this National League West. But at the same time, he had success, and he's got experience with the Rockies. So I think he would probably, my guess is, I don't know this, I haven't talked to anybody about it, but probably at the top of that list.
Jerry Schimmel joining us. I thought it was interesting, and again, not that this isn't his role now, but now Executive Vice President Walker Montford, I thought this was genius to have him release the quote that says we're going to be looking at someone from outside our organization. I just thought it's a subtle move. I just kind of liked how that was structured.
Yeah, I do too. And I think everybody was looking for that. I think if he came out and said, hey, we'll look at some internal candidates, I think that would turn everybody off. It would turn the media off, turn fans off. And the Rockies, they're smart enough to understand that's not going to work anymore. We tried that with Bill Schmidt, and it was a blatant unsuccess. So, yeah, I think that was a good move on the part of the Rockies. I think a good move on Walker's part. My guess is, I've gotten to know Walker a little bit the last couple months. My guess is that was probably his idea. He's a pretty sharp guy, and I'm excited about what he's going to lend to this organization.
I think, you know, you have so many people saying, oh, they're just going to hire the family members. They're just going to do that whole thing, and Dick Monfort's not going to sell because he wants his family to be there. I think him coming in like this, and if you're right, Jerry, and that probably was his idea, I think that just moves the needle with a lot of fans. It's like, wait a second, this guy's kind of going against maybe what Dick Monfort might have done in the past.
Yeah, I think so. I think you're right about that, Brady. And I, again, I don't know Walker that well. I haven't spent a lot of time around him other than the last couple months where we've had some meetings and some really interesting stuff that he brought out and some new ideas that he had, both with the baseball operations end and marketing and tickets and fans and the fan experience and all that. So he's a really sharp guy. And if there's anybody that I think could probably stand up to a dad, it would be him, it seems like anyway. And I think, and I can tell you this too, Brady, maybe I've told you this already. I think I told Tanner and Brian on a morning show, but if you walk in that building, if you go into Coors Field and ask somebody about Walker Montford, they rave about him. They love him in that building. And that's the owner's son, where a lot of people could be talking behind his back and doing things that aren't in his best interest and aren't in the team. But nobody says that. Everybody loves him. In fact, there's a couple friends in the front office there that are very cynical people that love Walker Montford, think he's going to be great. So, again, I'm excited about that prospect.
Jerry Schimmel joining us. Jerry, what did you make of baseball last night, man? There were some phenomenal games until the end, and then the Dodgers kind of went crazy. But that's what's so fun about these games with this great pitching. Every run is just crucial. Every single thing is so important in these games.
Just the tense. You're right about that. The tension in those games, you could feel it. I was reminded, other than the Dodgers game, just reminded of how important starting pitching is, especially when you get in the playoffs like this. You've got to have a stud or two starting pitcher, or you're going to lose those games. And that's who won yesterday. The teams are the best starting pitchers. So it just reminds me all the time, that's where you start. You start with success with your starting pitchers, and boy, we saw that yesterday in last night's games.
I tell you, my favorite moment was honestly the end of the Red Sox-Yankees game. There you see a great closer in Chapman who gave, you know, loaded up the bases and no outs, and then at the same time you saw him bail himself out of that. I know it was unfortunate to get in that position, but I tend to gain way more respect. I know you're going to struggle, everybody's going to struggle, but if you can crawl out of that kind of hole, wow! I mean, he's phenomenal anyway. He's had a great year, but that was a special playoff moment.
Yes, it was. I thought that game was over.
I did too.
The bases loaded, nobody out. You score, I think someone said you score in 91% of those situations, something like that, or 81%. So the odds were stacked against leaving the bases loaded and not getting a run in. So, and you tip your hat to Aroldis Chapman. I mean, he just keeps getting it done at his age. What is he, upper 30s now or something? And he keeps getting you want to hand the ball to a veteran there, and you want to hand the ball to somebody who can get strikeouts, but somebody who has been in that situation many times and knows how to work out of it. And boy, he sure did that.
Yeah, it was awesome. That was, and then, you know, so many great moments yesterday in tight situations. Today, we've already got the Tigers and Guardians going. I thought the Tigers were going to start off with a bang, but the Guardians get out of it. They're up 1-0. They're rolling right now. Who do you like in this one today, Jerry?
I like Detroit still. In that game, I think they might come back and get that. I think they're a much better team than they showed the last month of the season. I think they're a better team up and down than Cleveland, even with their pitching. So that's my pick in that series.
Padres, Cubs, how do you like this one going down? Do the Cubs take care of it?
Yeah, I think the Cubs take care of it. I do. That's a dangerous team. You know, it's one that wasn't talked a lot this year because the Brewers are so good, but, man, they are good. I know they lost a starting pitcher that might really hurt them in the playoffs, but that's a really dangerous team that is really, really good offensively.
And then, Jerry, at 4 o'clock, Red Sox, Yankees, do the Yankees even up this series?
I think they do. Yeah. I think they do. I think they even up the series, but I still think the Red Sox are going to win that series. They're a quiet, kind of humble team that just – Trevor Story is the face of that franchise at times because they're just quiet and they just get the job done. And that's all Trevor has ever done in his career. So I'm picking the Red Sox in that one.
Dodgers, Reds, last night's game, the Dodgers are just terrifying. Everybody that goes up to the plate, you just know you're in. I heard Brian say it on Good Morning NoCo. It's like you can't take a breath if you're going up against the Dodgers.
No, you can't. Those first four in that lineup are as good as any first four in Major League Baseball. And then the guys down at the bottom of the order have had great years and all are clutch hitters. And they all know how to get things done in big situations. So it's really hard to bet against the Dodgers, unfortunately.
Jerry, appreciate you, my friend. Big news for the Rockies. I'm curious to see where this is going to go. And we'll reach out, too, once we start getting some answers. Would love to have you back on and get your thoughts on the new GM for the Rockies.
You bet, Brady. Anytime, my man.
All right, Jerry. Appreciate you, man. And have a great offseason. I know you'll be broadcasting soon. I mean, you're all over the place, so you know you're not going to take much of a break.
No, which I enjoy. Downtime and Jerry don't get along very well.
Well, you know what? When you're good at something, just keep doing it, man, and you're one of the best. Jerry, appreciate you, my friend.
You're very kind. Thank you, Brady.
Jerry Schimmel, one of the voices of the Colorado Rockies, 11:50 the time. Let's take a quick break. Let's go through that list that Jerry gave us and get your thoughts. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Hey! Uh-huh.
Hey! Is this the year the UNC Bears turn it around? Find the Football 52 podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or 1310kfka.com.
This is Cato June, all-pro linebacker, Super Bowl champion. You're listening to 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into the whole show powered by Chevron. Already big news to start this. I mean, we got the Pac-12 stuff. We got the Bill Schmidt stuff. We got baseball playoffs rocking and rolling already this morning. And we got a big weekend of games. I was listening to the podcast of Good Morning NoCo. If you want to check those out, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or 1310kfk.com. Same place you find mine. Or ours, Micah. What's mine is yours now. Kevin Lytle was on. And he did finally utter that phrase of it's a must win for CSU on Friday night against San Diego State. It's a must win. If I feel that way too. I said this a lot yesterday. It just when you just get to those awkward things, benching a quarterback, changing a quarterback, play calls, odd in-game decisions over and over again, all that stuff just kind of adds up.
Odd Tuesday interviews.
It was odd. And I like Mike, but it was odd. It was a long answer to a very specific question.
Bro, it was hard to get that out.
It was, who's calling the play? I mean, I talked to Ed Lamb on Football 52 today. We're just kind of off the record. He's like, you don't have time to converse. You're not conversing for those few seconds you have. Nobody's like, oh, should we run this play? Should we run that play? No, it's got to be, bam, this is what we're running. And that's from an assistant at BYU and a guy that's won at Southern Utah. So, Ed Lamb, Football 52, coming out later today if Michael can figure out how to do it. Top stories of the day coming up next.
This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.